Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years we've been asking the franchise entrepreneurs who own one. I'm your host Marty McDermott with my co-host Don Johnson, and if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Stuart Vernon of American Swimming Pool Company. An American Swimming Pool Company, the Southeast's most respected swimming pool maintenance and repair franchise, was established in 2001 by Stuart Vernon of Macon, Georgia. The company was built on the belief that providing the highest quality pool maintenance with competitive pricing and a high level of dependability will attract customers. And that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com. Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneurs one on one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And today's show is being brought to you by Franchise Times Magazine. Franchise Times is the only magazine that targets both franchisors and multi-unit franchisees, and is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. How are you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
I'm doing great this week, Marty. How about you? How are things?
Good, good. It's amazing. The week's gone by pretty fast, hasn't it? Since our last show, it feels like 5 minutes. But
right.
Yeah, everything's going well, Don. You know,
it's
fall's here in Pennsylvania. You know, and weather's nice, and getting ready for the holidays coming up, you know, so we got a
right.
lot going on, don't we?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we had an interesting show last week, Don. We met with Gary Okigrasso of True Foods. And True Foods, if you missed the show, is a family of franchise concepts like Pudgy's Famous Chicken, Wall Street Deli, Arthur Treacher's Fish and Chips, and Ritter's Frozen Custard. Gary's fantastic. This is the second time we've had him on the show, and I just love the way he talks about franchising and just presents the franchise opportunities. Did you have any thoughts on last week's show?
Yeah, you're right about him. He really knows what he's doing. He had a lot of interesting uh-huh. things to say. I thought it was a good show just talking about trying to build back up a franchise system, to turn it around. Unfortunately, a few of the franchise systems and brands they have came on some hard times, and
right.
sometimes it's mismanagement or poor franchisees, you know, whatever the case. Mm-hmm. But they're well-known names. We talked about Arthur Treacher's. I was going there as a young kid.
Yes,
so
right.
it looks like they're really turning around and getting things on the right track. And the best thing is, like Gary said, they're opening up corporate locations of these
right.
brands, which really gives the franchisees confidence. If corporate's opening up locations, it really reinforces that their confidence level that, you know, these brands are going to grow and be successful, and that's going to benefit the franchisees, too.
Yeah, it's an excellent point. What about the whole co-branding thing, too, Don? I think that's going to work pretty well, too, don't you think? I mean, here they have these, you know, four, you know, brands, and, you know, we've seen what, like, companies like Yum Brands, who I think have been called, like, the godfathers of co-branding. They have some
right.
pretty interesting co-branding opportunities here as well, don't they?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of co-branding.
Yeah,
and you know, that it's simply because people like it. If they can go somewhere and
mm-hmm.
get some food and dessert, or, you know, get some frozen custard and some chicken or whatever the combination is.
Right.
You know, that's...
It's true. It's hard to please the whole family. I guess you're going to go through this, you know, as your kids particularly get older, you know, is to please everybody. You know, not everyone may like fish, right? But, you know, if you have the combination
right.
of, you know, fish and chicken, or, you know, you want custard after having something to eat, let's say like a Wall Street Deli, that's fantastic, you know what I mean? So
right.
it's attractive, I think, to the franchisee, of course, as well. You know, they get some good deals by utilizing that co-branding concept as well. So, you know, I know you and I both love co-branding, you know. We should keep our eye on these guys. You know, I have some good feelings that you know, Gary's going to be able to, you know, bring a lot of these big names back. And we're waiting for Arthur Treacher's to come back out here in Pennsylvania. You know, it's nice to see some old brands come back again. So it's pretty interesting. So it was a good show. So what do we got going on today, Don? We have another interesting show today, too. I think this is a new one for our archives.
Right.
Library.
Yes, yeah, Stuart Vernon. He's with American Swimming Pool Company. Is coming on the show today. So I'm pretty sure we've never had a swimming franchise on the show.
I don't think so. You know, they might actually be the first, you know. So, yeah, it says here, America's Swimming Pool Company, the Southeast's most respected swimming pool maintenance and repair franchise, was established in 2001 by Stuart Vernon of Macon, Georgia. I think he was fairly young, too. I mean, we're going to have to find out from Stuart when he started the company, Don. But I remember reading somewhere, I think he was pretty young when he started this whole thing. So real entrepreneur, from what I understand. So it's a great story. So I'm looking forward to having Stuart on the show today. Should be interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and I noticed a couple interesting topics we wanted to get to last week. And as always, just time didn't permit. So I'm
right.
hoping we can get to some of them today.
Time goes so quick when we're having so much fun, you know.
There you go.
This is through Business News Daily, Marty. For many small business owners, franchises are the answer, by Ned Smith. Mm-hmm. A very interesting article. Business franchising covers far more territory than flipping burgers and steaming carpets. From Ace Hardware to pet grooming services, where there's a business, somebody has frequently figured out how to franchise it. For many business owners, converting an existing business into a franchise operation is the way to have the best of both worlds, the autonomy of running your own operation and the support and marketing clout that comes from being part of a national organization. Thousands looking for franchise opportunities will flock to the International Franchise Association's West Coast Expo. Franchising is a lifeline in troubled times that has kept them afloat and helped them stay in business. Franchisors mm-hmm. generally have a well-known name that is advertised and promoted and also possesses specific product or service offerings. They also have developed a blueprint for how their franchises should be operated. When you become one of their franchisees, you pay a franchise fee up front, a percentage of earnings for the right to use products and services. So this first example, a business owner who's made the switch, a person by the name of Ernie Felice, he served as the owner of Garnet Staffing out of California for 11 years, Marty, but the recession took a heavy toll on his business and on staffing companies in general. They traditionally provide temporarily and temp to permanent office help. He became a franchisee for Express Employment Professionals in December 2009 through the company's Team with Express program and established staffing business owners. He says it was serendipity, he told Business News Daily. As an independent, I was always at the bottom of the curve looking up. They made it quite easy for me. The franchise document was fairly easy to work with. Today, he's doing well despite the tight economy. He's averaged over 1,200 employee hours over the past 4 weeks and increased his hours billed by 26% over his first week as a franchisee. Overall, he's up 36%. He says, I don't think I would have survived without the help of the franchise. We were able to operate as a small business by having the backing of a large company behind it. Now, there's a bit of accountability, which is a good thing. They like to say you're still on your own, but not by yourself. He says that the franchise fees he pays are really a wash, taking the place of many of the back office expenses he had before. Actually, he said, I'm spending less now than I was before.
Wow.
It's an interesting story, yeah.
That's a powerful quote, isn't it? I like how they use the word, too, blueprint, Don, you know.
Right.
I mean, you know, for our new listeners to the show, I mean, a lot of times that's what you're buying is a blueprint to the business. And I think a lot of companies, Don, that go into business, I don't think they have a true blueprint documented somewhere on paper. I think a lot of it is in their head, maybe. Some of it might be on paper, you know, but it's really what separates, you know, the franchise from a regular business. And it's amazing that this gentleman's costs were able to go down, isn't it?
Right.
That's fascinating to me. So, yeah, powerful article.
It was almost like a win-win. This next example, the recession dealt a different hand to Joe Reising. His family had owned a General Motors new car dealership in Illinois, a little south of Chicago, for 81 years, a family business, until GM phased out the oldest surviving American automobile marquee in 2004. They had sold both automobiles and Chevrolets. Then the recession and GM's bankruptcy hit. Because there were seven Chevrolet dealerships within a 20-mile radius, GM pulled the plug on their franchise as well. He says it's a pretty big slap in the face. He converted his dealership into a Meineke car care center after reading about the company's program for disenfranchised dealers in a trade paper. The Chevrolet dealership closed down and then reopened a couple months later as a Meineke and now shares an existing facility with Reising's used car operation. The cost of doing business as an independent is just too high, he said. The cost of converting his business to a Meineke franchise was about $100,000. It included franchise fee and new equipment and signage. He doesn't expect an immediate payback. He says, I'm pretty optimistic, but it's probably going to take a year to get the business going. Main attraction of choosing to go with a franchise, he said, was the marketing and advertising support. Before signing up, he conducted his own due diligence. I ask a lot of questions, he said. I checked with a couple of guys who had Meineke franchises and were successful. I think it's a good company. If you've got a question, you can get someone on the phone with you and get an answer.
It's interesting. He it sounds like, I mean, he did his homework. I hope he did enough homework. You know, he said he asked a couple. You know, I have a feeling he asked more than that for some reason. I don't know why. You know, one of the advantages when you're buying a franchise, and we've mentioned this on a dozen shows, Don, up to this point, is that you have this list where you can actually speak to present and sometimes even past franchisees, you know. And I think that's where you're going to get a lot of your most valid information sometimes, you know. That franchise disclosure document is very, very powerful. So if he just said to me that he only spoke to two, I would be a little uncomfortable with that. Now, again, he's gone into a very good franchise system. You know, we know about these guys, you know, and I know they have a strong system, so that's fantastic. But I think when you're looking, again, you want to get as much information as possible from the franchisor and as many franchisees as possible. And again, particularly within your area, I think that even helps
right.
more, you know. So, but, yeah, it's so it sounds like we have a couple of examples of franchising saving
right.
some businesses.
Right. Hmm. Yeah. It's pretty neat. And costs going down. And you have the franchise system, well-known name, and fortunately, most businesses during these tough times have had to make some type of changes.
Mm-hmm. And it's always amazing too. Like what I was going to say, Don, is you know, people being a little concerned about the loyalty. You know, like we've heard that before, as far as people saying, "Oh, I don't want to pay a 3% or 5% loyalty. That seems like too much." You know,
right.
But it's not. I mean, if you look at what you're getting back in return, it's much more significant. So yeah, it's interesting.
Right. Yeah. Here's something, FoxNews.com. Some businesses see bad economy as chance to find an edge, by Anita Vogel. Necessity is the mother of invention, and that is especially true for small businesses in the midst of a recession. To stay afloat in this economy, small and large businesses alike have had to get creative to exist, let alone make a profit. For some franchises and chains, however, the recession has been a boon. Operations like Soup Plantation and Christ Furniture have figured out that a dip in the national economy might have its advantages, like cheaper rent and lower construction costs, as much as 20 to 30% in savings when it comes to opening storefronts.
Hmm.
Those two places, franchises, I mean, it's amazing. We've been in this industry for a long time. I think I've heard of Christ Furniture.
It's possible, right? I've never heard of them before. Again, I think we're familiar with all of them, but it's quite possible.
We've used this opportunity to get in locations where we wouldn't able to be otherwise, says Lauren Christ of Christ Furniture. We've drastically reduced our rents, and really you don't see a furniture store in a high-end retail mall. It's really given us a lot more exposure. Retail experts say there are two ways the recession helps companies. One, the costs are coming down.
Mm-hmm.
Second, they're able to have greater access to those choice, you know, prime trophy locations that are very crucial for attracting demand.
Mm-hmm.
Franchise businesses have this advantage of being a more scalable service than a regular mom-and-pop shop. So in an environment where costs are coming down, franchises have room to scale up, so to speak. And the folks who run Soup Plantation say that has been a recipe for success for them. CEO Michael Mack says the downturn in the economy has been real incentive for them to figure out how to branch out. He says, "We created a smaller prototype, which is far more economic for us. We're also promoting some of our products in Costco and other retail channels, which is another way for us to do the same thing. Even in Las Vegas, which is experiencing high unemployment for a record high number of foreclosures in the real estate market, franchises are pouring in. Several new yogurt stores and clothing outlets are coming soon. Franchisees say the recession has been the in they've been waiting for to take advantage of getting into the market on the cheap. No better time, they say, to roll the dice." Talking about Vegas, I guess.
That's great. Gary was talking about that last week as well, wasn't he? You know, he's talking about location. And you know, for True Foods, location is, of course, critical, you know, getting a killer location.
Right.
And he was saying that, you know, I mean, you really got to grab those locations now, because they're not going to be around in another year or so. You know, and I think a lot of people are going to be kicking themselves, Don, that they didn't get these incredible locations. You know,
right.
It's very, very important. So, and it's interesting that costs are going down. Have you noticed too? There's a lot of smaller prototypes being created by franchises as well.
Right. Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of that. Being in financing, Marty, a lot of franchisors have had to adjust,
mm-hmm.
because people have less money in a tougher economy, they have smaller size, you know, prototypes, I guess, lower investment
right.
size. Some franchises, like maybe go to kiosks, you know,
yes,
and
exactly.
will lease less space in common area. And some franchises that maybe do food or smoothies or desserts go to carts,
mm-hmm.
and people can go out to where the fairs and businesses are. So there's been all kinds of adjustments, lower investment sizes to get people into franchising.
Yeah, it's been an interesting result, you know, of you know, a tough economy. Is a lot of these franchisors, Don, have really thought outside the box, you know, and they've come up with some clever ideas, I think, you know, as far as how to, you know, beat the economy, you know. So it is. That's pretty interesting. It's a good article.
Yeah, and we're not going to be able to get through this full article, but we'll start talking about it a little bit. On the Wall Street Journal, Julie Bennett, Franchising the Year in Review. It's headlined, New Tax Breaks, Loan Incentives to Fuel Industry's Growth. She says, franchising as a business model is having a very good year. For the first time in history, the U.S. Census Bureau included data on franchising in its annual economic report, and the results were astounding. Franchises with paid employees make up over 10% of the businesses in the 295 industries in which franchising is represented and account for 13% of that workforce.
So
I guess she broke down the
industries.
She said 295 industries. She must have broken down food into all the various categories.
That's true. Okay, that makes sense, right? Because food is in a lot of instances, they just use food as one industry. But, you know, we know that there's a lot of industries within the food category. So that makes sense.
Those numbers will soon increase, she says. After 2 years of intense lobbying by the industry trade group, the IFA, Congress passed the Small Business Jobs Credit Act late September, providing tax breaks and loan incentives to small business owners. One provision raising the limit on Small Business Administration's loan guarantees from $2 to $5 million should help franchising expand even more. And according to an IFA analyst, add another 450,000 to 600,000 new jobs to the economy. Several trends are making franchising even stronger. Throughout the recession, as independent businesses failed, most franchisors helped their franchisees stay afloat and stay viable, says Daryl Johnson, president of Fran Data, franchise research and consulting firm in Arlington, Virginia, who we know, who we'll have on the show soon.
Right.
In these difficult economic times, even sectors on the economy that are growing, such as healthcare and services for children and seniors, have a better chance of growing within the franchise model, he says. For example, in early 2009, when demand for in-home unskilled care fell, at BrightStar, a medical and non-medical staffing franchise in Illinois, CEO Shelley Sun brought on new services such as in-home skilled care and kid care to help her 165 franchisees increase their revenues.
Wow.
So just to stop right there, you know, I guess always, you know, something positive going on in franchising. And like that last article we read, I mean, well, we just touched on both things. Our last article about sometimes independent businesses have to franchise to stay afloat because they're getting that support and marketing and background and so forth. And here's someone, a successful franchise, but even a tough economy, she had to kind of change her her format and add services to continue to grow.
I mean, that's fantastic. I mean, this is, again, the power of franchising is, you know, one of the things I like to use the expression sharing best practices, you know, and by this woman or this franchisee thinking outside the box and saying, here's an idea, you know, and you bring it back to corporate and you say, you know, have you guys ever thought about this? Other franchisees can start doing that, you know what I mean? It's a benefit of going into franchising. So it's some pretty powerful articles today. I mean, if someone was listening to the show for the first time, there's a lot of great information.
Right. Well, they'll become a permanent listener, hopefully.
Exactly.
Article goes on. Chris Grandpree, CEO of Outdoor Living Brands in Richmond, Virginia, acquired another franchise company. We had two franchise concepts, Arkadeck and Outdoor Lighting Perspectives, and wanted to acquire other outdoor lifestyle businesses. When the economic climate entered a tough period and people became cautious about investing in their homes, we searched for franchise concepts that served similar demographics and would help our current franchisees diversify. At the start of last year, Outdoor Living Brands purchased Mosquito Squad, a franchise that sprays for mosquitoes, fleas, and ticks.
So far,
he says 11 of his 114 Arkadeck and Outdoor Living Outdoor Lighting Perspectives franchisees have joined the 65-unit Mosquito Squad franchise. It's pretty interesting. You have a franchise, you know, outside services to a home. I know mosquitoes always bug me. I'd hire that service.
No pun intended, right? Yeah, no, it's true. You know, it's funny. I remember Mosquito Squad. I remember someone telling me about them a long time ago. But, I mean, this is interesting. You said something, Don, in the article said something about, you know, serving similar demographics. And as you were talking about that, it kind of reminded me of 2 weeks ago, or was it 3 weeks ago? I remember Fiesta Auto Insurance, right?
Right.
It was a Fiesta Insurance. I can't remember. Franchise, right. Taxes and also insurance. And again, in both cases, they're serving similar demographics, you know what I mean? So it kind of makes sense to, you know, sometimes combine services and things like that. So there's some interesting opportunities out there, and there's some interesting trends that are taking place in franchising, you know, as you and I are going over the current events as far as what's going on in the industry. But I think it's fantastic. Again, we're not going to be able to get to the whole article. I see our guest Stuart has called in, Don. So why don't we do this? Let's take a quick break. And we'll be right back with more franchise interviews. In segment two, they've expanded into 56 territories in the Southeast, serving over 100 cities across the country. We're meeting with Stuart Vernon of America's Swimming Pool Company, and that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interview. So stick around.
Who's helping build America one small business at a time? Franchise Inc., a free consulting service.
For years, Franchise Inc., a national company, has been helping people franchise their business concept and help folks like you own a franchise.
With over 2,500 franchise systems out there, it can be awfully confusing. Don't take chances with your future. At Franchise Inc., we've done the homework for you. We can help match your interests and background with the franchise that's right for you. And we only work with proven franchise systems with a solid reputation and track record of success.
The consultants at Franchise Inc. can help you with your short and long-term wealth strategy.
Give us a call today and we'll send you free our best-selling book, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise.
Remember, it's not just owning a franchise, but finding the right one for you. Call us at 800-961-0420 for a quick consultation to discuss what's important to you, your business, and your future.
The service is free. The book is free. What do you have to lose? Find the business that's right for you.
Call Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420. That's Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420.
Big Mouth!
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic, where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign. No expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today because we are meeting with Stuart Vernon of America's Swimming Pool Company. At America's Swimming Pool Company, the Southeast's most respected swimming pool maintenance and repair franchise was established in 2001 by Stuart Vernon. Hey, Stuart, how you doing today? Welcome to the show. Hi, Stuart. How you doing?
Good. How are y'all?
Good. Thank you. Stuart, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson, and I know, Don, you wanted to say good morning to Stuart.
Thanks for coming on, Stuart. We appreciate it. We're excited to hear about your franchise, which we've never had your type of franchise on before, so welcome to the show.
Great. Thank you very much for having me. We're fans of the show and looking forward to being here today, so thank you.
Great.
Oh, thanks, Stuart. So we would like to ask our guests, where are you calling from this morning to get an idea what the weather is there?
We are in Macon, Georgia, which is about 1 hour south of the Atlanta airport, about an hour south of Atlanta.
Okay, good. That's good. And you have an interesting story. What were you doing before you founded America's Swimming Pool Company, and why did you decide to enter this industry, Stuart?
You know, in 2001, I was actually graduating from college in South Carolina, College of Charleston, and I had grown up basically being a serial entrepreneur and knew that I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do or how I was going to do it, but I knew that, you know, controlling my own destiny, starting my own business, that sort of general premise was what I was looking to do. So it was upon graduating from college and exploring a couple of different industries that I literally stumbled upon the swimming pool industry, primarily looking at moving back to my hometown of Macon, Georgia. Found a fragmented market that I felt like we could enter and provide better service than our competition.
Is this something, Stuart, you feel that can be nationwide? I know Marty and I were here up in the Northeast where the season for warm weather is obviously smaller. My family has a pool. There's pools all over the place. I imagine you can really do well up around here. Maybe talk about that and just tell us basically what your franchise do and how your franchisees are making money.
Sure. Yeah, good question. It's it's an interesting question over the evolution to look back and say, well, is this something that, you know, in the initial phases of the company, we had not planned on franchising. That was not originally part of my business model or our growth model. Originally, identified the business model to work in the founding location. But once we began to franchise and we took our opportunity into a neighboring city and into a neighboring state, the same concepts reign true every market that we entered early on back in 2005 and still reign true to this day. As we enter a market, we find that whether it's in Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, upwards of Tennessee, North Carolina, as we have moved further north even, the markets that we're entering consistently are needing, you know, a higher level of service, the professionalism that our concept is built around, and the programs that we've established and put in place have worked, you know, market after market. So to answer your question specifically, yes, as we've looked further north, it's interesting. The pool business revenue holds true as you move further north, even though the seasonality cuts in.
Right.
So you find that the revenue almost follows the trend of the temperature in the given market. So whatever you pay Marty for swimming pool service in the northeastern part of the country, or repair work or renovation work, is higher than regions further south. So it is a market that's able to be entered into and played upon for sure.
Yeah, it's a great service, too, Stuart. I was going to say, Don, I remember, and you know this, Don, because I know your family has a pool. I remember my father-in-law just, they sold their house several years ago, and it, just because it was so much work to take care of their pool, and he just had it. You know, it's just so, I mean, it really is. It's, I was looking into what you guys do. I mean, it's a wonderful and important service, I think, you know. So I think it's great what you guys are doing.
Well, we appreciate it. And that's kind of what the business is based around, is that, you know, there are several consumers out there that we deal with. If, if you've got a swimming pool, you are either going to maintain the pool yourself on a weekly basis, but you are going to need a swimming pool company. In some form or fashion, no matter what, you know, whether it be when the pump goes out or the deck cracks, you know, even if you're taking care of that water yourself, we're able to offer our other two-thirds of our services to that same homeowner, or we're the one-stop shop to the homeowner that says, you know what, I'm tired of dealing with it, I'm tired of turning it green every other week, y'all deal with it, and that's where we come in for the full service.
Yeah.
So you said, Stuart, you also build and put in the pools as well, right?
We do everything but new construction. So we actually, our renovation is a big part of our franchisees' business, where, meaning, you know, an existing pool that's 10 or 12 years old, which is the average lifespan of a pool before it needs work, it needs a facelift.
Right.
So we'll take it all the way down to the foundation and rebuild it. But our focus is not in new construction. And, you know, thank goodness, frankly, the pool construction industry over the past 2 years has followed the same trends as the housing and home construction industry. So, fortunate that we decided to stick to our original plan and our grassroots during the housing boom, and we did not get into pool construction.
So how do you, Stuart, describe America's Swimming Pool Company to a franchisee prospect and investor? I mean, you know, tell us a little bit about that, please.
Sure. When someone is looking at our brand, at our company, you know, we're appealing to a franchisee or an individual that wants to own their own business. We are not looking for someone that's been in the pool business for 10 years. We're not looking for someone that had to have grown up working on pools. We actually, 95% of our franchise owners have the opposite. They are coming to us wanting to start their own business, much like as if I did, much as a lot of the other entrepreneurs in this country did, they want to control their own destiny and start a business. So when they're looking at our business, they're looking to enter a very fragmented market, and they're looking to come in for a low-capital startup, so there's very low risk, low overhead, high gross profit margins, and you're able to identify whatever market you're looking at. You take our general principles and our general game plan that we give a prospective franchisee in the beginning, and they very quickly, when doing their due diligence, can see exactly what it is we would do in that market, which is providing a higher quality service, a recognizable brand that doesn't exist in their market, and we're frankly boils down to we're able to do it significantly better than the next guy, and that has evolved and become even truer today even than it was 3 and 4 years ago. Our buying power has significantly increased, our brand has increased, and the practices that we implement on our franchisees have grown over time. So that's what we're able to do when we enter a new market, or when a franchisee is looking at a new market. They take those core principles and apply them to their own territory.
Have you had some conversions, independent pool service companies convert to America Swimming, or is that something you foresee happening as you move along?
Yeah, great question. Interesting. We just over the past year have developed what we call a conversion program, and we had our first conversion come on board a little over a year ago in Claremont, Florida. A gentleman and his wife who were in the pool business, they had done a great job, very intelligent. They just knew that they needed to take their business to the next level, you know, whether it be from the marketing side of things, the name brand recognition, the website, search engine optimization, buying power. Those were the things that they felt they were lacking, and they were stagnant in their market because of it. So when they converted over a 12-month period of time, their sales increased 95% year over year. And they dramatically changed the face and the look and the feel of their business. But at the same time, we were intentionally not allowing any other conversions. We wanted to make sure the program was right, it was a good fit, and it would be something we could take to a national level. And so it wasn't but about maybe 2 or 3 months ago we implemented an official conversion program. It's on our website as well, where that's going to be the idea moving forward. If someone's in a market and already in the business and they want to take it to the next level, that's what we're going to partner with them and allow them to achieve.
That's great. We were talking about that early in segment one, Stuart, regular businesses wanting to take it to the next level, and they were only able to accomplish that through franchising. You know, so it's a great example that you just referenced.
You know, it is, especially in some of these markets that are primarily in the service-based market, retail-based market. You know, the non-restaurant segment especially is really primed if a good franchising system has that conversion, if it's set up right.
Mm-hmm.
And why we wanted to study it. If it's set up right, you know, it really can be a truly win-win for the franchisee and the franchisor, and that's really the bottom line. That's what it's all about.
Any numbers on how big the industry is at all, Stuart?
Numbers on the industry?
Yes.
Yes. We're part of a multi-billion-dollar recreational industry or discretionary household improvement industry when we talk about renovating pools. Specifically, we deal in an industry, the swimming pool industry, that's made up of approximately 9 million residential swimming pools in the country. And, you know, it's an industry that, interestingly, virtually didn't exist even 15 or 20 years ago on a large level. I mean, if you think about it, the number of swimming pools grows exponentially. So when a new swimming pool is put in, one does not die or go away. It really, the opposite is true. When a new swimming pool is put in, there is a swimming pool out there that is just turning 9 or 10 years old and needing renovating and repairing. So we're part of a 9 million swimming pool market share in the country, and that's what we're focused on.
What percentage of homes is that, Stuart? You're saying 9 million total pools in the country?
Right. We're finding, and you know, if you think about what that actually means, is primarily made up of a majority of the country that would maintain or house a swimming pool, meaning the temperature, the environment would be conducive. In the Southeast, primarily the 10 state southeastern, southwestern region, we find about 1 in 8 homes in the neighborhoods that we target. About 1 in 8 homes have a swimming pool. Now in Florida, Texas, California, areas like that, it's more like 1 in 3, 1 in 4 homes have a swimming pool.
Wow, that's incredible. I didn't realize the ratio was that high.
Yes.
You know, it is. And, you know, Florida alone has over 1 million swimming pools in just that single state.
Wow.
So, you know, you build a new house in Florida, or certainly in 07, 06, 05, a new house goes in, it's probably going to have a swimming pool going in the backyard as well. So that's part of the reason why our market and the industry in general has really seen explosive growth over the last 10 years and still continues to see that growth in the service segment, which we're very fortunate to be in.
What's been the most interesting thing that's happened to you, Stuart, since starting America's Swimming Pool?
You know, once we began to franchise in 2005, I'd say the most interesting or a word I like to use a lot of the time is rewarding. You know, one of the most rewarding things that I enjoy more than anything else in this world is helping a new entrepreneur, whether it be a 25-year-old that we have that got hit by the recession and couldn't find a job, or whether it be the 55-year-old, you know, ex-corporate America executive forced into early retirement. You know, watching that new entrepreneur have the fire and the passion to want to start their own business, control their own destiny, make their own way, and helping them through that evolution process, from teaching them, you know, the ins and outs of bookkeeping and going to that oh-so-important net number, watching them make that number grow. You know, that's probably been the most interesting or most rewarding is just how successful our guys have been and what joy that brings to them and their family and also to us. So that's without a doubt what I enjoy more than anything.
Yeah, that's a great response. So we got to take a quick break. Are you able to stick around for another segment?
Would love to. Absolutely.
Okay.
We'll be right back with more Franchise Interviews.
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open? Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. As we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Stuart Vernon of America's Swimming Pool Company. At America's Swimming Pool Company, the Southeast's most respected swimming pool maintenance and repair franchise, established in 2001 by Stuart Vernon of Macon, Georgia. The company was built on the belief that providing the highest quality pool maintenance with competitive pricing and a high level of dependability will attract customers. And Don, I think you're up.
Yes, Stuart, talk to us a little bit about training for a new franchisee for America Swimming Pool. I'm sure
Certainly,
it might be good if they're working up a good sweat and they're tired, they can always jump in a pool, right?
That's right, that's right. You know, a franchisee, when they come on board with us, is coming here for a two-week training period. Again, as I mentioned earlier, a franchisee is almost encouraged to not have any swimming pool experience, repair experience, even hands-on experience, and that's what our job is here. So they come here with us for 2 weeks, and we've got a training facility in the back, about a 1,500-square-foot facility that has operational pumps, filters, hot tubs, And attached to that room is a conference room where we've got, you know, computers, and they learn the bookkeeping side of things. So when they're here with us for 2 weeks, they are putting their hands on approximately 100 different swimming pools over that period of time, 100 to 150 different sets of filters and pumps and equipment. And we try to engage them in not only a classroom style setting inside here, but then about 50% of their time is spent out in the real world, on swimming pool pads and on swimming pool decks, seeing every different scenario that we can put in front of them over a 2 week period of time. When the last 2 days of training is all business, and that's where we really separate ourselves from the competition in our market. Our franchise owners have a clean, uniform set of books. They know how to analyze them, ratios compared to our industry and compared to similar businesses. And so we really spend a significant amount of time focused on the office, bookkeeping, marketing side as well over those 2 weeks. When they leave here, we then have an 8-week startup plan that they go through with our office. My COO and partner, Tom Swift, takes them from there. Once I send them out in the real world, we then stay very entrenched with them over 8 weeks. And then from there, it's a monthly series of monthly calls and check-ins quarterly as well.
And I guess with this type of business, I guess an interesting question, is there a typical day for a franchisee?
You know, it's funny. There's probably a typical day for each of our kind of general segments. Our year one guys are usually spent in the field. You know, a typical day might be cleaning 10 to 12 pools and meeting Mr. and Ms. Jones to discuss a renovation possibility. Our year two and three guys, we like to see them transitioning more and focusing more on managing the business. You really begin to grow and spread your wings as our guys put another truck on the road and another employee on the road, which happens very quickly in our business. And then from there, our older, more seasoned guys, the 3-, 4-, and 5-year locations, are really focusing more on managing the business, managing the employees, managing the operation as a whole, continuing education, continuing learning, networking, really growing the brand in their market. So it's really all over the board a typical day for our company.
Mm-hmm. The majority of our listeners, Stuart, are aspiring entrepreneurs they're thinking about buying a franchise. What advice would you give to them as far as their quest for buying a franchise?
You know, when you're looking at starting a new business, a new venture, there are literally thousands of different scenarios and problems and hurdles to overcome that are what ultimately make business ownership so rewarding. I mean, the future potential of owning your own business is really unimaginable. And the advice I would give would be to do exactly what you all are doing, which is looking into the franchising world, because you ultimately end up owning your own business, but you get to do it with an organization that has a track record, with an organization who has a proven path to successfulness, and who's really going to be there to be your corporate backbone. It's truly a partnership that you're entering while still controlling your own destiny and owning your own business. So I would encourage, and I encourage any business, potential business owner, even to this very day, I encourage them to look into the franchising world, not just our industry, but
right,
start a business with a franchising organization.
That's great. What are your plans for the future, Stuart? I mean, where do you see the company going in like 3 to 5 years?
Sure. It's a topic that we just finished addressing last Thursday and Friday at our annual owners meeting. We just completed that, our most successful one to date. And part of my presentation was just that, was who are we? Where are we going? And I looked at short-term and long-term. In 2011, we're going to be focusing back on our core franchisees, helping our franchisees grow the brand in their specific market. And with that is going to come the growth of the brand on a larger level, regionally and nationally. And over those 2 to 5 years that are going to be ahead of us, my mission and our mission as a company, while we reinvest in our franchisees, is also going to come with taking their brand that they own, their investment that they've made in our company, and taking it to the next level. And that was the theme of my presentation just last Friday, was how are we going to do that? And we've got a significant plan, a significant roadmap, and all of our franchise owners that are in our company now are in their infancy stages and are part of a ground floor opportunity and are really poised to be part of something that's never been done in this country before, which is the maintenance, repair, and renovation business taken to a national level, made a national brand, a national company, and that's what we're doing and that's what we're going to do.
I'm sure you had that in mind when you came up with the name of the franchise. I mean, it's perfect for what your long-term goals are.
We actually, yeah, it was actually a change that came over about the last 18 months. The original flagship location was All Seasons Pool Company, ASP.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, that developed into more slang. ASP is what we were known for. And so we took that logo, that name, and went through a transformation here recently with a new logo, new name, new national launch for America Swimming Pool Company to be able to do just that, correct?
That's great. What's the best way for our listeners, Stuart, to get more information on becoming a franchisee? Is there any websites they can go to, any phone numbers they can call?
Yes, two ways. Our website, which has a tremendous amount of information on it and can really take you through the history of our company, mm-hmm. and how to franchise, is ASPPoolCo.com. So ASPPool, P-O-O-L, Co.com. And our phone number here at the franchise office is 478-254-4495. And we've got a series of steps and information we can take them through.
That's great. And I want to thank you again, Stuart. You've been a fantastic guest. And Don and I would love to have you guys come back in 2011 and talk more about the company and watch how you guys have grown over the last year.
Don and Marty, we'd love to. Really appreciate the time.
Thanks, Stuart. Great
thanks
job.
Thanks so much, Stuart.
Thanks,
great job. Take care.
Talk soon.
Good show, huh, Don?
Yeah, interesting. First segment, we thought we saw a few franchises we weren't familiar with, but we're always seeing that so many different industries can be franchised if done right, like this.
It was a nice segue, right? I mean, you talking about taking it to the next level in segment one, you know, and Stuart talking about, you know, how these guys are planning to do it, you know, in the future, you know, so it's just a nice segue from one segment to the other, you know. It was a great
right.
opportunity, and a big market. I didn't realize Florida has that many pools out there.
Yeah, yeah, it's, I can't believe how high the ratio is. It's big business.
That's incredible. Yeah, so you did a great job, Don, on segment one, and next week is our fourth year anniversary, 200th show. It's the day before Thanksgiving, and we're meeting with our dear friend Michael Gerber, and I can't tell you how excited I am to do that show. Anytime we get
right.
to talk to Michael, I'm on a high for usually a month. So,
yeah.
So looking forward to it already. So, 4 years, it's just incredible. So, good job, my friend. And for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com, franchisefunding.net, gofranchise.com, and I'll be talking to you next week, Don.
Have a great day.
You too. Take care, everyone. Thanks for listening.